for the teaching that we've been receiving these last many weeks on Reformation history and our spiritual heritage. And we thank you for the privilege now of preparing and then going over to Scotland and seeing some of the places where these events took place. And I just pray that tonight, as we talk over some logistics and details, that you would give us all clarity of thinking and that you would allow our thinking together on details to provide for a smooth trip, so that there wouldn't be any hang-ups or hassles or disappointments that would distract us from our purpose for traveling, which is to learn more about you and the way you've worked in history and in our own lives. Amen. All right. First of all, I've got one handout here. Could you guys... Thanks. I've got some just basic details. I'm basically going to go through the travel and what's all involved in the travel and the timing of things and some things you're going to need to keep in mind. And then after I'm done going through this sheet that I'm handing out, Dr. Blackwood should be here by then, and he's got a few things to share. And then Mr. Stoichev is going to give us some particular packing tips. First of all, on the back of this handout that you just got, you've seen this before. It's the exact same packing list you've gotten before, but I just want to be sure that you still have that in front of you and that you look over that as you prepare to pack for this trip. Remember that you can pack in one carry-on bag that needs to be able to fit under the seat in front of you or in the overhead bin, and then two bags. You can check two bags which need to be no more than 63 inches overall dimension. That means the width plus the depth plus the height, all those dimensions added together, cannot be more than 63 inches each, and then no more than 70 pounds each, and you should have no problem with that. When you pack, be sure to pack so that the following items that you see there on the list are secure but readily available throughout airport travel. What I mean by that is these are things that you're going to need to have access to during the trip over, and we'll talk more about that as we go. So don't pack these in your suitcase that's going to be checked. Don't put your passport in your suitcase that's going to be checked. Have that with you. But have it secure. Don't just have it, you know, loosely, no particular place. Have a specific place for it that's secure on your person, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Have your airline ticket. Now we're gonna hang on to those and then give those to you at the airport. But once you do have your airline ticket, again, be sure that you're thinking ahead and you've got a secure pocket or something with your carry-on, someplace very secure that you're planning to carry that with you throughout the trip. You'll want to have available on your person during travel some money for lunch in Brussels, Belgium, and we'll talk more about that when we get to Brussels in the itinerary. And then you'll also want to have reading material and or whatever else you may want to be doing for approximately 30 hours of travel overall. Now, that's both over and back, but there will be quite a bit of time that we're spending in airplanes and airports. So think ahead about that. And think of what book you want to finish reading or a cross-stitch project or whatever. If you're bringing a camera or a video camera or computer equipment or something like that, be sure your batteries are fully charged so that you don't have to go fumbling around and plugging things in every time you're at a security checkpoint at an airport, because they will require you to turn it on to prove that it's a functional operational camera or a computer.
Does it go to still cameras?
Still camera, don't worry. They'll want to look through it. They'll want to look through the viewfinder usually to see if it's, you know, a real camera. If they're really careful, they'll do that. Sometimes they don't even bother. Be sure you have your computer or video camera carried in some way that is readily accessible every time we get to security check. You're not having to unpack an entire bag and repack. You may need to declare it in the red lane in Scotland declaration, and we'll talk more about that when we get to Scotland, so don't worry about that right now. And also remember that with computer equipment or camera, things like that, you will need, and I meant to bring it down with me, but that European power, the UK power converter plug. Do any of you not know what that looks like?
It's different than European.
Right, it's different than European. It's specific to the UK. It's these three huge, gigantic, I don't know how they ever... What are they, when they have a little tiny appliance, do they have this huge giant plug on the end of it?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Australia is the same way. My grandma gave me like a hair dryer and a clothing that she bought in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And getting that in Switzerland, so those will not work, because she thought that they would convert over and that I could do it since they were, she actually bought them in Switzerland and I could use them in Scotland.
Does anybody know the power differences between Switzerland and...
It should work.
Same cycles and all?
It's a different adapter to plug it in with.
Okay, but you will need an adapter for the... Because is it the two round prongs that you have? It probably, I'm guessing, Switzerland has the two round prongs. Is that... And you need the three monster prongs.
We'll go into that.
Yeah, we'll get more detail on that with Mr. Stoichev. And then also for email connections, we will need, there is a different phone jack. And I got an example of that too, but I left it upstairs, so I can bring it down later. But Radio Shack has that. Is anybody here planning to take a computer and do email? A couple of us. Okay. Anyways, that's just a brief few things that I wanted to be sure to emphasize on packing. But Mr. Stoichev will give us a whole lot more detail on packing in a little bit here. Yes, Tom.
Again, another question regarding cameras. Has something changed or something that you shouldn't put a camera on checked-in luggage? That would be awful unusual to not be able to do that.
You can check a camera if you want to take that risk, I think. It's just, I've never done it. I've never known anyone to do it. It's just, I think it's kind of a risk. But if you've got it packed well enough, if you've got a good hard case and you want to do it at your own risk, you can do that. But... packed luggage gets pretty rough handling. Okay, now, did all of you get the CSI course outline? Okay, you'll want to be sure to read over that. You'll notice that they have some instructions down here if you want to go the extra mile and apply for credit through the Reformed Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh. So you just want to be aware that there's a few extra steps there that need to be taken if you want to do that.
Do we have to send the extra, is there extra money to send in?
There is an extra $360 fee. That's what it says here.
And that's what we've already paid?
That's not included in what we've done, is it, Heather? No, that is an addition.
That's paid to the seminary.
Now, I'm not real clear on this, and do you know, in talking with Andrew Quigley, are we able to do that at a later point in time? Because the back seems to make it sound like
you can
do it at a later point in time.
You probably have to declare it before the course, but maybe not.
Okay. Well, if there's anyone that's seriously wanting to do this and needs some more direction, we can check into that.
Please do so. It seems okay. Like an awful lot of extra money.
Well, that's the way colleges work.
Yeah, Tom, that goes to the seminary.
Right, that's the fee that goes to the seminary. Everything we've paid so far goes to CSI. So, on the back, be sure you take note right here, Marin Office Center contact number. There's the address and phone numbers for where we will be staying. So you'll want to be sure to inform your family of that. There are more copies of this up here if someone else needs it. So be sure that you notify your family of that information. And then inside, I found it real helpful. You may want to do this too, to just go through the schedule. And I took a yellow and an orange highlighter and just highlight. I always get teased my color code. And just highlighted the in-class sessions in yellow is what I did, and then the field trips in orange. And it just was a way for me to go through and see what we're going to see, where we're going, and to get a feel for how much time we're spending in the classroom and how much time we're spending in the field. And that just may help you to look at, to plan ahead. Also note in particular, on Saturday the 27th of June, that whole day is being spent in Edinburgh. That's one of the options there. And the course itself ends on the 2nd of July. We have the 3rd of July, and then we actually depart on the 4th. So those, that 3rd of July and the 27th of June are 2 days during which we won't be eating on campus there. So you want to just have some extra money along for food just in case we end up having to fend for ourselves food-wise during this do-it-yourself day in Edinburgh and then that 3rd of July. There may be food available for us. There may not. I'm not sure, but just be alert to that just as you plan. Okay, airline mileage. Sabena does have a partnership with Delta Airlines and U.S. Airways. So if you already have a frequent flyer number with one of those, or if you don't yet, you probably should get one. There's going to be, oh boy, somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000 miles racked up through this trip. So that's probably worth getting a number for. I put down here the phone number for Delta for their Sky Miles and a phone number for U.S. Airways so you can choose which one you want to go with. And I didn't talk to Heather about this yet, but I was going to ask her if you do get a number, could you write that down and then get that to Heather, and that way we can get a list compiled of everyone's name, which program you're with, and your frequent flyer number so that we can handle all that at the desk when we check in. We'll talk more about checking in a little bit. Does everyone understand how frequent flyer miles work and what's involved there? Okay. Just go ahead and call one of those if you don't have a number already. And then also be sure throughout the trip, hang on to your ticket copy and your boarding stubs, your boarding pass stubs. Don't throw those away. Keep those till the end of the trip. Because if for some reason your frequent flyer number doesn't go through or the registration of that trip isn't processed, that's your proof that you traveled on that trip so that you can go ahead and reapply for mileage credit. So hang on to your ticket copy and your boarding pass stubs throughout the trip until you get that statement from Delta or U.S. Airways letting you know that you've been credited for that travel. Now, one other thing I need to mention, U.S. Airways' partnership with Sabena does not cover the Brussels to Glasgow and back portion. And that's just about, I don't know, just a couple hundred miles each way, I think. Have you measured that, Brad, with your travel plans?
No, I measured it in hours.
So, yeah. So Delta will give you the full mileage. U.S. Airways will give you almost the entire trip, but they will not credit you for the that little portion there. So I guess if it's six, one half dozen the other, go with Delta. But if you already have U.S. Airways miles, like I happen to already have some with them, I'm kind of in a tither whether I want to start another program or just go ahead and add in what I can with this. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions on this first page? Anything we've covered up to this point? Okay. Page 2. Here's the plan, transportation-wise. Wednesday, June 17th, the day before departure, it's a good idea to finish your packing early in the day rather than planning to finish late in the day and then have all your last minute troubles come up at midnight and running crazy. And be sure you check for essentials like your passport the day before we leave. I'll never forget one trip we took to Russia when literally like 30 or 40 minutes before we were leaving for the airport, one of the fellows came out, "I can't find my passport." And it was like 30 minutes of just panic, rushing and running and digging all through his apartment and everything until finally we found his passport about 10 minutes before boarding the bus. So be sure you've got things like that all in line the day before, and then get a good night's sleep. This trip over is going to be a very long, tiring trip over, and you'll see that as we go along through the time schedule here. So get a very good night's sleep that night before. Don't plan to be sitting up packing all night. All right. You may even want to plan to finish packing on the 16th in order to be sure you're finished by the 17th. Okay, June 18th. Eat a good lunch a little early in the day there before you leave. It's going to be a while before dinner, so get a good lunch in there. And we're asking the van drivers to be here at the church at noon. We're actually going to drive from here to Cincinnati and then fly out of Cincinnati. At this point, Mr. Pulliam has offered to let us use his large van as a luggage van, and either he will drive that or we'll find someone else to drive that. And then Mr. Winslow, Mr. Falk, and Mr. Turner are all driving, and we're going to, and the Turner family is going out as well. But based on the seating available, I've got it broken down there, and I think we've got everybody covered with a little bit of extra leg room, so it won't be too tight. But these are the four vans that we're going to have here. We're going to ask them to be here with their vans fueled and ready to go at noon. And then if the rest of us can all plan to arrive somewhere shortly after, just about 12:10 or right about there, with, and here's the things you need to be sure that you've got with you: your luggage, your two bags to check plus one carry-on. Be sure that each bag is tagged with your name, and it'd be a good idea to have both an American and a Scotland address on that tag. That way, if your luggage is somehow misrouted on the way over, it can be routed to us where we are rather than being sent all the way back here. And there is that address again. Also, have your passport readily available on your person. Have this address here, the bigger address and phone number, on a little slip of paper in your wallet or in your purse. And we'll talk more about why a little bit later. You might want to have some sort of a snack or a little carry-on food bag with you that you can dispose of, just because it's going to be a long time before supper. And so if you have a hard time lasting, long time between meals, you might want to have just a few things to nibble on when we get to the airport in Cincinnati. Dressed in CT travel attire. Does anyone know what CT travel attire is? No. Okay, well, CT, I just coined the term this afternoon, so you shouldn't know what it is. But the C stands for comfortable, but the T stands for testimony. There's not a need at this point for us to be dressed up for this trip over, but we do want to be a good testimony, so dress appropriately. Have with you, again, money for lunch at the Brussels airport. And we're going to ask if everyone could plan to bring $10 towards the transportation, unless, you know, like Mr. Pulliam's providing the vans, so, and Turner's, et cetera. You don't have to contribute any further. But in any case, we figure if everyone would be able to bring just about $10 towards transportation, that would help us just to defray the cost of gasoline and maybe a fast food meal for the drivers on the way out and back, and any other, and parking expenses and things like that. We want to be sure that we cover that for them. And then again, reading, and if you need those little, you know, black things to cover your eyes or a neck pillow or something on the flight, we're going to have 17 to 20 hours in airports and airplanes on the way over. Those little pillow things? Are they, I think? I would think Brookstone would be one place. Does anybody else have some ideas? Walmart. They usually.
McGowan's.
What's that?
McGowan's is a mail order place.
McGowan's? Okay. All right, so there's several options there. And we will have 14 to 16 hours in airports and airplanes on the way back. Not quite as bad. But there's quite a bit of time there, so we can make good use of it. And also, again, it's going to be tiring, so you might want to think about what you need in the way of being able to get some sleep on the way. Okay, when you arrive here at the church with all these things at 12:10, 12:15, no later than that, on Thursday the 18th, The first thing you want to do is drop off your luggage at the luggage van, which will be Mr. Pulliam's van. We'll have that out in the back lot with the seats taken out of the back of it. And you'll drop your luggage off there. Now, I'm going to ask if a couple of fellas could plan to be here early to help just stay by the luggage van and get everything loaded in. Is there anyone that thinks they could do that, help with that? That's okay. Okay, fine. Okay, there's a couple of you can plan to be there to help with that. And then I was also going to ask, here's the yarn situation. If when we're traveling over and back, everyone's pretty much going to be responsible to handle their own luggage. But if we get to an airport where things at the baggage claim are extremely crowded and it's hard for all of us to get up there, if we all have the same color yarn or something like that around our handle, then what we can do is we can have a couple of us up at the baggage claim, everyone else behind, and then just every time we see a bag with that on the handle, we can just pull it off and hand it back, and then people can check it from there. So I'd like for us to go ahead and do that. Is there anyone that has or could provide some yarn and be there at the luggage van? You can do that. Okay. And if you could be at the luggage van with a pair of scissors, and we'll just tie it on, cut it down, and then you guys can load it up. So pick a nice color that will match any kind of luggage.
May I suggest tie straps? It will probably be more apt to survive airline baggage handling.
A colored tie strap or something?
Yeah.
Do you have access to those kinds of things? Or?
Yeah, they're just little white plastic straps or black. Or
if we could get a piece of plastic or something to stick onto it, that might work well. I'm afraid a tie strap might be too thin to see when it's just alone.
It's a good idea to put them on anyways. Make sure they're not opened.
Oh, around the whole bag. Okay. Okay. Does anybody know how to get a hold of something like that?
Well, we
Okay.
We'll go into tie straps too.
All right.
We got examples.
Okay. Good. Okay. When you arrive, bring your luggage to the luggage van, and we'll either yarn it or tie strap it. We'll figure that out later. And then load it up. I'll be there too, and you'll give your passport to me. And I'll explain that when we get to the point of check-in at the airport. So I'll want to be able to collect all your passports. And then if you need to, make a restroom stop. We do want to try to make it to Cincinnati without a whole bunch of unnecessary stops along the way. So, and we do want to try to stay together as a caravan. So I'd like to avoid one van having to pull off while the others keep on going. I was on another trip once when we had a caravan heading out to the airport, again, to catch an international flight. And one of the vans, the fuel meter said full, but it ran out of gas. And it was a bus. Actually, it was the bus that ran out. So we ended up having to put everyone else and have vans shuttle back and forth to rush everyone to the airport. And we're going a little farther this time. We're not going to be able to do that. But I would like for us to stay together as a caravan if we can. So if someone does have engine trouble or something, we can make some adjustments. I think we have enough leg room in the vans that if needed, we could really cram things and make something work. But anyway, so that's where a restroom stop here is pretty valuable, because it'll help us to keep on the road. And then our goal will be to be loaded up, if everyone can be loaded up in your van by about 25 after 12. That way I can come around and just go down a checklist and make sure we've got everybody here, and then we'll hit the road by about 12:30. Any questions on that page, Heather?
Can we take into account the time change?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. We do lose an hour on the way out to Cincinnati, so.
One thing they asked me at the airport, even on domestic flights, is do have you packed your own bag and have you had it continually with you? Now, it would seem to me then that maybe we ought to put everybody's baggage in their own van. so we don't have to waste time sorting through it to satisfy the security people.
Hmm.
Especially if you got the kind of suitcase where if you hit the buttons, the whole thing goes boing.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, we'll put some thought into that, because that is a thought. I think if we stay together as a caravan, then that satisfies sufficiently everybody having their luggage pretty much with them. But we'll look into that. That may be something to try to figure out. Were there other questions?
Well, I was thinking, for example, I think there's 4 or 5 hams here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be helpful. Who all has ham radios that are going? Do you have a ham? Do you have a ham? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, the Winslow van will be loaded. Okay. Well, that'd be helpful. Is there anybody here back at Indianapolis that would have a ham radio?
Well,
that we could just have tuned in and alert? He's driving us out.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. I'll make a note of that. Okay. Any other questions before we go on to the next page? All right. Yes. Right, and you're going. Your family's going out early too, aren't you?
So,
where are you guys going to be able to meet us at the Sabina counter or something like that?
Yeah, I think Kevin's flight comes in like at 12:15.
Okay.
So.
Okay. When you get to that, when you get there, come over to the Sabina counter, and then we're going to have your tickets anyway. So if you give me your passports there. I suppose you could give me yours ahead of time, but I'll need to get Kevin's there. That'd be great. Thanks. Okay. 12:30. We'll depart for Cincinnati. Again, try to stay in a caravan. We might make one rest stop as a group on the way. Directions there, which we'll give to the van drivers. With the time, it should be about a 2.5 hour trip if we make it in good time. We do lose an hour on the way there, so we should get there about 4-ish local time in Cincinnati. We'll have the vans drop us off at the departure terminals. Everyone claim your own luggage. And for the sake of the travel over, there's about 23 or 24 of us going, which is a big group to try to keep track of all as one big mass. I'd like to designate 4 teams here that you just kind of use to keep track of one another on the way over and on the way back. And that way I can keep in touch with and keep track of Mrs. Winslow, Mrs. Pulliam, Mr. Cornelison, and Tom. And if the rest of you all can keep in touch with them and them in touch with you, then that'll just help us work things through. I don't want the same thing to happen that happened on the way back from Israel, when I made the plane and everyone else didn't. He's going to meet us in Cincinnati. Okay. All right. Well, you guys can still meet as a group and find it. That'd be great. Throughout the itinerary, as we go through it, there will be a few places where I specifically ask that you as a group check in with each other just to make sure everyone's off the plane, et cetera, et cetera. But throughout the trip, you can kind of be keeping an eye on each other there. Once you've gotten out of the vans, you've gotten your luggage, you're together as sort of a sub-team, then you all come on in to the Sabina check-in area. And we'll just kind of have to spot out where that is, where the Sabina counter is. I'll be going there ahead of time with all of your passports. Be sure your passports are signed. Don't forget to sign that front page where it requires your signature in the passport. You need to have that done before we even go. They don't like it if you're signing it on the spot. That doesn't look too good. So I'll have your passports and all the tickets, and we'll go in and be able to present it that way to Sabina as a group, and that helps them to be able to process that side of it as a group. And then when they're ready for it, we'll bring you all up one by one to bring your baggage up so they can x-ray the baggage and check you against your photo and your passport, make sure you look at least somewhat similar. And then there we'll be giving each of you your passport and your ticket. Now again, be very, very sure that you've planned ahead and you've got someplace, a good, secure pocket or something that you're going to keep that passport and ticket in. One trip, I was with a fellow who lost his passport between the airport and the bus. I mean, just walking from the baggage area out to the bus, already he lost his passport, and we ended up spending a day sitting in the embassy just trying to process a new one. So do be sure that you keep very close tabs on that. Another mistake people often make is if they have their passport and it's just kind of, they're just kind of hanging on to it, they get on the plane and they just stick it in the seat pocket in front of them. And I know another girl who did that and forgot it. And by that time, the plane had already taken off. So she was in Los Angeles. The plane was on its way to Orlando with her passport in the pocket. So she called back to Chicago. So from Chicago, we had to call out and find someplace for her to stay overnight. The rest of the group went from Los Angeles on overseas. She had to stay alone overnight in Los Angeles until that plane from Orlando came back to Los Angeles so that the flight crew could gather that passport and give it back to her. So it's very, 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 very important that you have your passport and your ticket someplace very secure, a safe pocket or something, and I'm sure Mr. Stolchev will have some good ideas for us on that. Y'all got that point? Okay, good. Van drivers will return to Indianapolis at their leisure once they've seen that we're taken care of. Are there any other questions at this point? Do you all understand what we're talking about in terms of keeping track of each other and these teams, passports, how things are going to work when we arrive at the Cincinnati airport? Okay. 6:40 p.m. is departure time. Sabina flight 5:44. Arriving at 4 o'clock, take out at 6:40. That should give us plenty of time to check in and then have a little bit of time still sitting in the waiting area before taking off. And if that works, then we're right on schedule. Our goal is to have a little bit of buffer time in there in case something happens, but we also want to do all we can to avoid problems on the way. We'll depart from Cincinnati for Brussels, Belgium. If you've looked at a map, you'll notice that Brussels is actually overshooting Glasgow and Scotland a little bit. We'll be going beyond it because that's Sabina's major hub, and then backtracking to Glasgow. We will be served supper and breakfast on that flight. Notice, though, we're taking off at 6:40, which means supper will probably be, you know, closer to 8-ish. And we're leaving at noonish, so that's why I'm saying there's a long stretch in here between lunch and supper. So if you need something to snack on, have that available for yourself at the airport there. We'll have supper and breakfast on the flight. It is an 8-hour flight, and this is the only Thursday night you're going to get. So that's why you need to get a good night's sleep the night before and then plan to get some sleep on the flight as best you can. If you need to bring a pillow or something, you know, a pillow or something, plan to do that. Because this is it for Thursday night, these 8 hours of flight with two meals included. That's all you're going to get. So be ready. Friday, June 19th at 8:40 a.m. Brussels time. That's 1:40 in the morning, Indianapolis time and body time. So it's going to be pretty tiring. But at 8:40 a.m. in Brussels, that's when we are scheduled to arrive. Once we arrive, again, get off the plane, and we'll gather in one area as travel teams just to make sure that everyone made it off the plane all right. Oops. And then we're going to have 6 hours in the airport because we're still in transit. They're not going to put us through customs and everything, and it's very unlikely they're going to let us do anything but just sit around the airport for 6 hours. So you can look out the windows at Brussels, but don't expect to see much more than that. Yes.
This is where we buy food.
Yes.
Do we change money, or do they
take dollars? Usually, at an international airport like this, they'll take either. And often, they'll have a little bank there to change money, which I usually like to do just because I like to have something to bring back to brothers and sisters to hold them money. Did you have something to add, Mr. Stoltschaffer? Okay.
No,
okay. You'll get more detail. And all right.
Money changing at airports is pretty easy. Grace allows it, but it's a good place to change.
Yes. Do change as little as you have to at the airport. That's a good point. After we gather together as a group and we're all off the plane, we will have 6 hours, and I imagine it'd be nice for, you know, some may want to go wander and look at a few shops in the airport and figure out lunch and things like that. We will, though, want to stay in groups. I think it'd be wise to stay in groups of three, and for the young ladies to always stay with some of the fellas, and to keep tabs between yourselves and whoever your team leader is, so that we always have a general idea of where everyone's at. And then we'll need to set meeting time back in the departure gate area to be sure that we're all there for takeoff. If you're really, really tired, as I'm sure a lot of us will be, being that it is just 1 or 2 in the morning body time for us at this point, and you really just want to sit down and sleep somewhere, we probably should do that in the departure gate area, so we're sure where we're going to be when we take off. And if you really have to sleep, be sure you got your carry-on bag, whatever you have with you, very close, you know, like wrapped around your foot and between your feet or something like that. And it would really be good if we had someone that was awake and alert with a group that's kind of weary and sleeping. So we'll want to kind of think in that way. We'll see what happens when we get there and play things by ear. But we do want to be safe and careful. At 2:20 p.m., yes, here is where you'll probably want to get a lunch at the airport during this stopover, because we'll be here all morning. And then take off at 2:20 p.m., Sabina flight 683, depart Brussels for Glasgow. There are no meals served on this flight. It's 1 hour and 50 minutes, just a short flight over the channel. We'll go over. Brad will be going under. And that's right. And then at 3:10 p.m., Glasgow time, we do cross another time zone. That's 9:10 Friday morning in Indianapolis. So there are 6 hours difference between Indianapolis and Glasgow, and you might want to tell your family that so they can keep track of where you are time-wise by just adding 6 hours to whatever their time is. In the air before we arrive at Glasgow, usually they hand out some sort of an arrivals declaration form, just a little form, fairly simple to fill out, and you'll fill that out. So you want to have a pen with you. That's another good point. I'm pretty sure you have a pen with you. And then we'll land. And there's basically three steps that you see a diagram there on the side that we go through on arrival. There's customs, baggage claim, and then declarations. Once we get off the plane, how does Dr. Blackwood, the airport at Glasgow, do they usually actually dock at the terminal, or do they usually load you into the cattle cars and truck you up to the terminal?
We loaded directly, but it seems to me we had to walk down steps and then back up.
Okay.
And they didn't have the ramp or runway.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I'm sure that was true.
When we want to, after we get off the plane, again, make some sort of contact in our teams. Don't do that on the tarmac, though. If we unload at the airplane, don't be looking for each other on the runway. Just follow the directions to get into the building, and then they'll direct us towards the customs area. And before you go through customs, check with your team leader and just let them know, I'm here, I'm all set, and I'm heading through customs. You don't need to all gather in one group before you go through. Go ahead through, but be sure you check with your leader. And then leaders, if you can just keep track and make sure that your people are together. In the case of a family, if you want to all go through together, you can hold back and do that. But I just want to be sure everyone's accounted for before we enter the customs process. And then you'll go into customs, and that's where you'll hand them that form that they have us fill out on the plane, and your passport, and they'll just look at it and stamp it and might ask you a question or two, but it's pretty simple.
Michael, I think on that form or somewhere in there is where you're going to need the address of the
yes.
bigger address.
Thank you for reminding me. That's why I said be sure you have your bigger address and phone number on a little slip of paper in your wallet or your purse. Because when you fill out that form, it's going to ask you where are you staying, and that's where you want to be able to fill that out. They'll probably ask you how much money you're bringing in, too. I don't know. Do they do that in Scotland? Okay. Maybe not in Scotland. Okay. Anyways, may ask a few basic questions. Then we'll go through the customs, and there'll be baggage claim. And again, everyone, plan to be responsible to claim your own baggage, but we'll want to have our bags marked so that if we do get into a very tight situation, we can all help each other get it off, but you're all going to need to carry your own bag through declarations. If you need a little rolling cart or something like that, you may want to be thinking about that now. So you'll claim your luggage and baggage claim. Again, once you've got your luggage, it'd be real helpful just, again, keeping tabs of each other through the declarations and customs process, because once we pass one gate, there's no going back. Plus, I want to kind of keep tabs of people as we step along. So once you have all your luggage, just let your team leader know that I've got all my luggage, I'm ready to go through declarations. He can just make a mental note that you're set, and then you just go on through declarations. Declarations, there's usually a red lane and a green lane. Green lane means you have nothing to declare. Red lane means you have something that they particularly want to look into that you're declaring. I don't know how it is in Scotland, usually they want to see like computers and that sort of thing, though. Anyways, look at it. There'll be a list there of what things you need to declare. And so just be alert. There's a red lane and a green lane, and go through whichever you have to.
Your form may even have this on.
The form may even tell what they want to know about. Anyways, once you get through the declarations area, which is where they ask questions, check your bags, that sort of thing. Usually they don't dig through it unless there's a real suspicion. Then we'll meet on the other side. Again, meet as your travel team's here, just so we can be sure everyone's accounted for. And that's where Andrew's crew and CSI will be to meet us. And are they having a bus or vans, do you know?
They'll be there.
Some sort of transportation there. They'll be there to take us on into bigger. Yes. Yes, Sabina does assign seats. Usually it's a good idea. What I'll plan to do is I'll go around and find out where each of the kind of team leaders are sitting. And if you, as who are kind of keeping watch over other people, would, when I get on the plane, kind of go around and just keep track of where your people are sitting. Just, it's helpful. So if something comes up or there's a need, we know where to find each other right away.
We would be seated next to somebody in
that group. I trust so. That's not always the case. The tickets are on the way. Once they arrive, we'll be able to look and see, and then we can let you know more clearly where you're going to be sitting. Usually we try to get them in a block, but it doesn't always work that way. So, we'll see. Any other questions here? Okay. Return. This should go very quickly. The return is always easier than the departure. Well, not always, but usually. Saturday, July 4. I don't know what time we have to leave in the morning, but it's probably going to be pretty early. And for the trip back, keep in mind your travel teams again, and we'll want to keep an eye out on each other on the way back, same way we did on the way over. Sometime before we leave, I'll collect the passports and tickets again for group check-in. will go to the airport and check in for Sabina Flight 688, which departs at 6:40 a.m. That departs from Glasgow for Brussels, Belgium. No meal served on this flight, 1 hour and 35 minutes transit time. Arrive in Brussels at 9:15 a.m. Again, we're crossing a time zone. On arrival, we'll gather in our travel teams, again, just to make sure we all made it all right, and that it'll have 2 hours and 20 minutes at the airport this time, so it's not nearly as bad as the six-hour layover. But we'll want to keep the same policies in terms of staying in groups and keeping an eye on each other while at the airport. And we'll want to see to it that we're all in the boarding area in time to make the next flight. 11:35 a.m., Sabina Flight 543 takes off from Brussels for Cincinnati. We will get lunch during this flight. I don't know how they do this, but it's 8 hours flying over and 9 hours flying back. Maybe we hit the jet stream or something one way and not the other. But in any case, sometime around 11 a.m. at the pleasure of the van drivers, they'll leave Indianapolis for Cincinnati. Some are talking about going the day before for some other reasons, but in any case, they'll all be there to meet us, I trust, when we arrive. We will arrive at 2:40 p.m. in Cincinnati. Again, there'll be an arrivals declaration form, this time from the U.S. government, that'll be handed out for you to fill out before landing. And they usually ask questions. They ask, how much did you buy while overseas?
We'll cover some of that.
Okay. Mr. Stoichev will cover that in more detail. Then we'll land and again inform your travel leader before you go through customs. You'll go through customs and turn and you'll show them your passport, turn in that form. The only thing I can think of that may be a challenge is that since we will be doing a lot of walking out of doors, it seems to me one of the questions they ask is whether you've walked on any farms. Isn't that because they want to know what kind of agricultural content?
We've had that for a number of times.
What do you suppose they're going to do with us if we have shoes, muddy shoes?
Just tell them what you did.
Yeah. Be sure you clean your shoes off good before you leave. Don't travel back with muddy shoes. If your shoes get muddy during travel, in fact, see, I just bought these the other day. I'm already breaking them in, my Scotland shoes. But be sure you clean the mud off of them before we travel back, because that's one thing they are very careful about, is any agricultural products you bring back in and any mud or soil or things like that that could bring in some foreign bacteria. So clean it off, and then we'll tell them what, if they ask about it, you can tell them about it, and we'll see what happens. Once you get through customs, again, you'll claim your luggage. Let your team leader know when you've got your luggage and you're all set, and we'll go through declarations, meet on the other side in travel teams, and that's where our vans will be waiting for us. We'll load up back here somewhere around 6 p.m., and you can meet with your families and tell them all about the trip. Any questions? I don't have any problem with that. Is that all right? We did that during the Israel trip, didn't we? Allowed cars to be left here during the trip in the parking lot. Just park it probably towards the back of the lot so it doesn't interfere with service parking, but that'd be fine. And I'll call the airline or travel agent or something to check into that baggage situation and see if we need to try to figure out how to have those in the vans with us or if we can just do a luggage van. But at this point, we'll stick with the plan, and then we'll see if we need to adjust that. Any other questions? Thoughts? All right. Well, why don't we let Dr. Blackwood come on up if he has some things to share, and then maybe we'll take a little stretch break, and then we'll have Mr. Stoichev.
Do you have any questions on clothing?
Questions on clothing?
Did you...
I didn't prepare anything in clothing. Mr. Stoichev, are you going to cover? He's covering some of those kind of things. But if you have any. The Pacers are starting in 5 minutes, so everybody just breathe a little word of prayer.
As you come back in, the fireworks will be not starting quite yet, but it won't be long after that if you arrive here at 6. Notice Margie and I are not on the list. That does not mean we're not going, but it does mean that we will not be traveling with you. We're having to travel separately on the way over, and we're having to travel separately, of course, on the way back. I've been in touch with Ireland and Scotland today. They're looking forward to you being over there very, very much. Insofar as the laundry is concerned, did you say anything about that, Michael? They are going to allow us to use their facilities at Maranatha. And Beth will be bringing soap.
Facility, one washer.
For one washing? Is that what she said?
One washer and one dryer.
Oh, one washer and one dryer. Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. And don't be surprised if you get wetted out in the rain or the fog or whatever it is that we'll be going through. And things do have a way of drying quickly over there. thing I particularly wanted you to know is that we would not be traveling with you on the way over, and we will not be traveling with you on the way back. Couldn't help that. And we will be staying over there for until the very end of the month with the family over there. And they're having a celebration for us in the area where they grew up. And so we'll be waving you off probably there at Glasgow as you leave to come back, although that's 6-something in the morning. We'll have to see about that. I wanted to encourage you, particularly this evening, to read the book. I don't want anyone over there, someone saying, have you seen this where Voss said that or where Voss said something else? Somebody, Voss? Voss? What's Voss? I wanted you to crack that book. Some of you, speed reading, may be able to read through it on the flight. But others of you, most of us, would need to have done some reading before we leave here on Voss's book on the Covenanters. And the other little book that I gave you, that may also be given to you when you get over there. Andrew Quigley was very much interested in that book, and he may have another copy of that. Yes.
Do you plan on taking our copy with us?
Yes.
Both of the books, I assume?
Yes, I think so. They're small, and I think that would be well. There will also be, for those of you taking the class, another book. How did we work that out finally, Heather? Beth's book.
We're making copies.
Making enough copies for each person in the class.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are not taking the course, there'd be 24 or 5 copies. I want to give a copy of Beth's book to Bill, and a copy of it to Bob, and a copy of it to Beth herself. Beth has prepared a glossary. It's 90 pages, names of people, places, things that we will be seeing or hearing about anyhow in Scotland. We won't be seeing all that. But it's just a sort of a brief compendium of Scottish Covenanter history. And she's been working on it for many months, and we didn't know anything about it until they mailed it over, and then they called to tell us it was on the way. But Heather is going to put that together in a booklet. You will have a copy of that booklet, and I think that could save you some time. So those things will be available for you. Was there any other paperwork?
No, I think we'll have the books available the day we leave.
All right. All right. My lectures will have a study booklet, and there will, I understand, they're making an allowance. What do you call those things? A special permit or something for the American with an overhead projector. special indulgence, maybe that's what we call it, for the American. And I don't know how the others are going to be lecturing. I do know you'll have to be listening carefully in order to catch the Scottish brogue. The Irish brogue will be with the professor from Ireland. And I would pray that, yes, Fred.
Is there going to be a course booklet, study booklet handed out there?
There will be for my lectures. That's all I know. They can't have my information and lecture material before I get there. We're taking it over with us. So they will not have that beforehand. There won't be any outline beforehand. Whether the others have something or not, I don't know. I would doubt that the man in Ireland had anything. Maybe the Scotsmen have gathered together, and they would have something ready to hand out. But I'll be surprised if they do. Don't think so. I don't think so. Any other questions about the lectures or about the content? There will be an exam. You have the information on that. Those of you taking the course for credit, and you've given instructions here about those taking the course to audit and those for credit and other places in between. Tom?
For those who don't pay that extra $360, be able to take the exam and get them graded and the papers graded and so forth?
Yes. Yes.
And you do get the credit with the Covenant of Summer Institute.
You will get the credit with this Covenanter Summer Institute. Okay, is that?
So, the credit at the Covenanter Institute is, you get that?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the $360 for? I mean, that's I only got that in the mail a couple of days ago. I didn't.
Do you know about this?
The $360 is if you want the official credit from RPTS.
Okay. RPTS have certain financial requirements in order to grant credit, academic credit, for their courses. They have to charge so much for them. The American Association of Theological Schools requires them. And if they lower that fee, then the American Association says they can't grant you credit for it. Is that, that's what that's for. We're thankful that the seminary is granting credit for this, but this is what it costs too. Does that help? Okay. I started to say a minute ago, in our contact with the churches there, I'm praying that we will be blessing to them. And there are some congregations there that you would outnumber. I mean, just the numbers of us here would be more of us than there would be of the congregation. And the Airdrie congregation and the Wishaw congregation would be, there'd be more of them than there would be of us. Although it could be sort of which is which. And I'd pray that you would get to know people in those congregations and that they would get to know you. I don't know whether we can do anything as far as singing is concerned or not, but I would pray that we could help with the harmony there. And I almost hesitate to say this next thing to you, but I think I have to. When we were over there, McMillans were there, and the Blackwoods, and Bob Tweed and Harold Harrington, we were all in graduate school at the same time, six of us, and we were all in the little Lonehead congregation, and they were rejoicing and thankful for our being there. But then we all left almost about the same time to come back to the United States, and we heard afterwards there was a big hole in the congregation, and we didn't do anything wrong. but we just sort of left them, and they felt left afterwards. We can't help that. We can go in and sing and rejoice with them and pray with them and hear them. And you've heard Andrew Quigley, and you'll hear David Fallows in the services over there. And I don't know where we're going to be when, but these men know how to open the Word. And they're good expositors of the Scripture. And many of the people are older, but just relate to them. There are some children in both those congregations. Just relate to them as best you can. Sing to the Lord and sing heartily to the Lord and rejoice in Him. And it will be a testimony. Some of those people will be over here in the United States at one time or another. And it's nice to invite some of them. Why don't you come and see us in Indianapolis or Lafayette or wherever you are? The Scottish people are very warm-hearted. And I've warned you about some of the words that we will not be using over there with them. There will be some people there who've been hurt by Americans, whether servicemen or others since then. But just be a good testimony, and God will bless you with them, and you will be blessed too. Yes.
Will there be any opportunities for us to actually be in their homes?
I know that Andrew would like that. And we just have to leave that in his hands. Don't invite yourself into a home. But if it were to work out, that would just be an ideal thing. And I'm sure that he's planning not just for 24 or 25 people. He's planning for 60 people. And a few of those people have been over there before. So there's no one congregation that could host that many. Are there other questions? That your testimony would be a good one. Now in Israel, we had what we call the modesty kits, whereby when we went into churches over there, even though we were out climbing around the hills, when we went into churches over there, what was the procedure on that? The ladies had to have a skirt on, and the men had to have not shorts, but trousers on. I'm not particularly enthusiastic at all about shorts anywhere. Heather looks nice, but it scratches. And Heather can be. I'm not talking about a lady. I said it, not she. It can be up to your thighs in height. And then there are the other brush over there, too. So let's say no shorts in church at any time. And I don't think anybody would. I think I'd like to see skirts on you ladies, too, please, as far as the church is concerned. Far as neckties are concerned, Margie, I don't feel dressed without a necktie on, but I know that's not true of other people. And be right. I'm taking a pair of fold-up, very thin, but they're so that they'll fold up and almost fit in the pocket, boots. Just to go over my shoes, and then when we're walking through, if we're walking through moors, if we go out to Erasmus, for example, there's no way of getting out to Cameron Stain. There's no way of getting out there without going through watery land.
Bogs.
Boggy sort of thing. Same thing, I think, is true of John Brown of Priesthill's home. On the other hand, there are many other places where we'll not have any trouble. Just be getting off the bus and going to places. They don't have as many restrooms over there as we have here. And so you'll need to watch for those opportunities and then take advantage of them when they do stop. Watch for the bird life. Because the bird life now is very similar to the bird life then. And when you're out there walking, you can see and hear and imagine what it would be like for the Covenanters to be out there at the conventicles. And I don't know of anything else that I'm so proud of you all, and I just desire, Margie.
Did you say that Beth will be bringing the stove?
Beth will be bringing the stove for the laundry, so you will not need that. Yes.
Did you say there'd be a drop-off laundry?
I haven't heard of any. Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to reemphasize that the temperature over there is going to be a lot cooler for us than normal 70 degrees.
The humidity is not like it is here. The air is damp. Therefore, it would be cooler. 70 degrees would be cooler. So if you're thinking of you're going in shirt sleeves, you might want to have a sweater. It rains usually 27 days out of 30. However, sometimes it's just a very quick rain. It's something that you could carry in your pocket and throw your a real light raincoat, maybe like a plastic.
The little short umbrellas can come in handy as fold-ups.
So sometimes you might not even see rain for a long time, but the records are that it rains frequently.
Yeah.
But it's one, and it might be sunshiny and rain for 5 minutes, beautiful rest of the day.
All right, I think those are the things that I wanted to pass on to you at this time. Margie and I are driving back to Pittsburgh tonight, and so we're going to be leaving just right away. And any of you men who have steel in your shoes was a thing that occurred to me just as we were talking. Those metal detectors, it can be pretty sticky if they've had a fright or anything lately. I almost always have to stop because I do have steel shanks in my shoes. And don't let that panic you. They can put that little rod in and you hold up your hands like this and they go through you. That's very easily handled. The worst possible thing came at that point, as Michael was saying, in the airport there in Israel, where part of us had to go on one flight and the rest of us had to go on the other flight, and then we caught up with each other later. That's all right. But I would encourage you to stay seated together, and even if you have to ask for it. And if someone is annoying you on the flight, don't hesitate to get in touch with those stewardesses. It's important that you would stay together. As Michael has said, we were walking down, what was the street where they had the black market in Moscow?
Arbat.
Yeah. We were walking down there, and one of the wives of one of the older people, and I think there were two girls there, and we were just walking all in the same direction, but we were looking back and forth this way and this way, what all was for black man, for under sale out on the street. It was the black market area. And all of a sudden, I thought I had kept my eyes on the two girls who were over there. And all of a sudden, I heard something, and I turned around, and there was a man, and he had his arm hooked into the arm of one of the girls, and he was going back the other way. And I whipped around and came right in front of him and said, "What are you doing?" And he understood that much English. He knew very well. He dropped her right away and said something that wasn't very nice. And then we just turned right back around and went on with us. But it was done just like that. So stay together, especially in the cities, in the villages. You won't have that much trouble. Yes. Will there be showers in Maranatha? I think there are.
What was the shower situation again?
One shower and one bathroom per bathroom and two bathrooms per floor. And and he's going to have a schedule for us.
What about the shower?
The shower? Or there's a shower and a tub in each bathroom, two bathrooms on each floor.
Okay.
And three floors. And that'll be a schedule.
Thank you. But Gordon.
So there will be a shower schedule.
Yeah. Did they say anything about her taking soap?
He said that the hotel would provide that, but if you want whatever you like.
Okay. I've been in, been even in their new motels over there when there was not soap, Margie.
Take your own washcloth.
Yeah.
They might have them, but usually they don't.
Yeah. Okay. You will not need any bathing suit. All right. God bless you and bon voyage, and we'll look forward to seeing you over there. I will be back a couple of Sabbaths between now and then, but not much other time between now and then. Yes.
Is it cold at night?
Margie, help me. If you took flannel, that would probably be well. I've seen the time when those sheets over there were pretty cold. And I'm sure that they will lay on, I think that's a term they use, extra blankets for the American group. But the in the churches, for example, I can remember the old church officer saying once, he was met us at the door, and he was just so pleased because he'd been firing and firing and firing the furnace. He says, it's warm in here today. It's 52. And he was so proud of himself for that. And but you can find cold weather. Probably not this time of year, though. Remember the scriptures that we've worked on. I will build my church, he said, and the gates of hell will not hold out against it. And this is true in Scotland today, that the Scottish church is having a very, very difficult... I'm talking about the Church of Scotland, as well as other denominations in Scotland. I would pray that we would have a positive testimony with all of them, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And remember, Jesus said it was his purpose to present the church to himself as a sacrifice, spotless, without blemish. And he is in the act of cleansing his church there, cleaning out the spots and smoothing out the wrinkles, presenting her to himself. And you will be part of the solution on that. He will use you in just demonstrating to other people. He's already used you. Andrew went back, and I'm hearing more and more reports of his report of his time over here. And there are just lots of good things happening there. Thank you, Paul, Michael. Could I pray for you for a minute? Father in heaven, we ask that you would command your blessing upon every heart and life here. God, bless each one now as you would allow us to go through the doors into Scotland and then to catch a glimpse of not only what you did do back in those years of Reformation, but also what you are doing now. God, we pray you change us, that we might go on learning from those precious souls over there, the character and the claims of the Scottish martyrs. God, teach us, change us however you want us to be changed. But then we pray that you would also use us in bringing about your change in Scotland, that those members of the congregations over there would be encouraged and uplifted and just helped in every way. Lord, use us in that, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Why don't we just take about 15-minute break?
I didn't need to take that. Oh, that's fine. No problem.